Now, as gunshots echo across the windswept, snow-covered reaches of the wild Northwest, Quaker popped wheat and Quaker popped rice, the breakfast cereal shot from guns, present Sergeant Preston of the Yukon. It's Yukon King, swiftest and strongest lead dog of the Northwest, blazing the trail for Sergeant Preston of the Northwest Mounted Police in his relentless pursuit of lawbreakers.
On King! On, you husky!
Gold! Gold discovered in the Yukon. A stampede to the Klondike in the wild race for riches. Back to the days of the gold rush. With Quaker puffed wheat and Quaker puffed rice, bringing you the adventures of Sergeant Preston and his wonder dog, Yukon King, as they meet the challenge of the Yukon.
There's no one that can make a better cereal than Quaker Puff Rice. It's nice. And when you hear that shooting, you're durn tootin' that Quaker makes the ones shot from guns.
Yes, that's what the shooting's all about. The swellest tasting breakfast cereal you ever had. Delicious, crisp, Quaker puffed rice and Quaker puffed wheat. Before opening the door of her cabin, Rose Brady looked through the window into the living room. By the light of the lamp on the table, she could see her brother Ross dressed for the trail, stuffing supplies into a knapsack. She took a revolver from the pocket of her parka, checked it, and then opened the door of the cabin.
What? Rose, what's the matter? Why aren't you at the music hall? It's time for your act.
I'm taking the night off.
What's the idea of the gun?
You may as well unpack that knapsack. You're not going any place.
Why, I must. I'm leaving town for a few days. It's business.
You heard me, Ross. Take off your parka. Sit down and make yourself comfortable. Because you're not going any place.
I tell you, I have to
go. I'm telling you. You know how well I can shoot. If you start for the door, I'll put a bullet through your leg.
What? You'd shoot your own brother?
If I'm forced to. Not seriously, but you'll not be able to walk for several days.
Have you gone loco?
No, it's you who's crazy, Ross.
Well, that's a fine thing to say.
It's true. Half an hour ago, I was sitting in one of the curtain booths at the music hall. I was having something to eat, and I heard two men talking in the booth behind me. Bart Conway and Pete Sherman.
Well?
They mentioned your name.
What of it?
I don't know what they're up to, and I don't want to. But you're not going to be mixed up in it. Bart and Pete have no chance of succeeding in whatever they're up to. Sooner or later, they'll go to jail. But you're not. Now, take off your parka and sit down. I meant what I said about using this gun.
Ross had no doubt that Rose meant what she said. And after a moment, he ripped off his parka, threw it to the floor, sat down in a chair. He didn't leave the cabin that night. And late the following afternoon, word reached Dawson that the express office at Grand Ledge had been held up and $50,000 in gold had been stolen. The robbery had occurred just before dawn. Rose had only one question for her brother.
Did Bart and Pete have anything to do with it, Ross?
Mind your own business. You want to stay healthy, mind your own business.
The act that Rose presented at the music hall was sensational. She was an accomplished dancer, and she was probably the best markswoman in the world. She danced, and as she danced, she fired six guns and rifles, hitting the bullseye of a series of targets set up for her on the stage. Three nights after the express company holdup, as Rose's act was nearing its climax, Sergeant Preston and Dr. Warren were walking along Front Street past the cafes. They were talking about King.
You understand, Sergeant, I'm not denying King's intelligence. But when you say that he can smell out a guilty man, I must disagree.
Well, Doctor, I said he seemed to be able to.
He doesn't smell guilt. He smells fear. When a man is afraid, certain glands produce an excess of adrenaline. That's what a dog smells. He doesn't like it. And that's why he growls when he meets someone who's afraid of him.
My whole point, Doctor, is this. King's instinct is controlled by his intelligence. King doesn't growl when he meets someone who's afraid of him. He growls when he meets someone who's afraid of me.
That's very interesting, if you could prove it.
As the doctor and the sergeant neared the music hall, a storm of applause broke out inside the cafe.
Rose must have just finished her act.
The doors of the cafe opened. A man came out, brushed past the sergeant and the doctor, and hurried down the street, disappearing almost at once in the darkness and the thickly falling snow. King growled.
Just a moment, Doctor.
What's the matter?
King growled at that man.
It was Bart Conway. I don't blame him.
But King's often seen Bart on the street, and he doesn't usually growl at him. Did you see his face?
Not very well.
I did. He was afraid of something.
And King growled because he smelled fear.
My question is, why was Bart afraid?
A guilty conscience, seeing you. Could he have had something to do with the express robbery in Grand Ledge?
We found no clues at all. Perhaps I should follow Bart just on the chance that...
Listen, something's wrong inside here.
Better come with me, Doc.
Right.
Everyone inside the cafe was crowded around the door of one of the private rooms at the rear of the building. The sergeant and the doctor forced their way through.
Stand aside, please. Let us through.
No one gets in this room till the police get here.
Bill Wright, the owner of the cafe, was barring the entrance to the room.
Oh, Sergeant Preston. Doc Warren. Good. Come on in here. It's Ross Brady.
Bill pointed to a table littered with cards. Ross Brady was sitting behind it. His head was resting on the table. His neck twisted. The cards in front of him were stained with red. Dr. Warren made his examination.
Yeah. Yeah, the bullet entered the chest just above the heart. He could only have lived for a few minutes after the shot was fired.
Anyone hear the shot, Bill?
No, or if they did, it wasn't noticed. There was so much shooting on the stage.
Who discovered the body?
Rose did.
Where's she?
I don't know. She was here. Perhaps she's gone to her dressing room.
Ross was playing cards. With whom?
Well, let me think. It was Bart Conway.
Bart Conway.
And Pete Sherman. See, Harry Forrest. Mike Weatherby.
We know that Bart's already left the cafe. How about the others?
I don't know.
Well, let's see.
The doors of the music hall were locked. The sergeant soon learned that none of the men who'd been playing cards with Ross were still there. Rose had also disappeared. Constable Downey arrived from headquarters, and the sergeant left him to question the customers. The sergeant, the doctor, and King left the cafe and fought their way through the snow toward the shack where Bart Conway and Pete Sherman lived.
There's no need for you to come with me, Doc.
I know, but I'd like to see how this turns out. There's his cabin. There's a light in it.
That surprises me a little. You'd better keep back.
I shall.
Doc, come here.
What is it?
Pete, on the floor.
Another shooting.
Is he dead?
Yes. And the bullet hole is in exactly the same place as the one in Ross's chest.
King was growling at a playing card that lay on the floor beside the dead man. The sergeant picked it up and turned it over. It was an ace of spades, and there was a neat hole in the center of it.
Doc, you've seen Rose's act.
Yes.
She uses an ace of spades in it.
That's right, several of them. She throws them in the air and shoots holes through them.
Usually through the exact center.
Like this one.
Yes. You said that Ross must have died almost at once?
That right.
Could he have lived for a few minutes after the shot was fired?
Well, it's possible.
It's possible, then, and he might have been still alive when Rose found him?
You believe he told her who killed him? That she came here and took the law in her own hands?
Well, that conclusion's a little too easy.
But the ace of spades...
If Rose did this, why should she want to convict herself?
Well, what are you thinking, Sergeant?
That whoever shot Pete may have left the card hoping Rose would be blamed. That's the other possibility to consider.
Are you going after Rose?
Not right away, Doc. When we find out why Ross was murdered, we'll know a great deal more about this case. There were three other men in the card game, Bart Conway, Harry Forrest, and Mike Weatherby.
Forrest and Weatherby share a cabin over in Shantytown. I went there once last fall when Mike broke his arm. I can show you where it is, Sergeant.
Good. Oh, would you put out the light? I'll cover the body.
Sure.
All right, let's go. Come on, King.
There was a lamp burning in the cabin Harry Forrest and Mike Weatherby shared. The sergeant opened the door.
Both of them wearing knapsacks. Both of them dressed for the trail.
Both of them dead, Sergeant.
With an ace of spades lying on the floor between them.
We'll continue our adventure in just a moment. Say, fellas and girls, you don't need a second invitation to breakfast when you have a big bowl full of delicious, crisp, Quaker popped rice or Quaker popped wheat waiting for you. They're a bell ringer for flavor, toasty nut-like and puffed to crisp, tender perfection. What's more, the one shot from guns give you added food values of restored natural grain amounts of vitamin B1, niacin, and iron. For a bell ringer breakfast every morning, treat yourself to Quaker popped rice or Quaker popped wheat. And listen, that's the warning whistle. Today is your very last chance to hear about a sensational offer. Have paper and pencil ready for sure. Don't miss it. You'll hear it at the end of the program. Now to continue. After leaving the cabin where Harry Forrest and Mike Weatherby had lived, the sergeant and the doctor returned to Dawson and Rose Brady's cabin.
Well, look, Sergeant. King's found something buried in the snow.
Let's have it, boy.
It's a padlock.
A broken padlock. There are marks on the door. Someone's broken in here. There's a lamp.
Well, doesn't seem to be anything wrong here.
We'll take a look in the bedroom.
Hey, all those clothes lying on the bed.
Rose seems to have packed in a hurry.
You think she's left Dawson's?
She isn't here. Look out and back. It's a dog run.
Empty. Well, it doesn't seem possible.
What doesn't?
That she could have killed those three men, come back here, packed up, and hit the trail. Rose may be a crack shot, but I'm sure she never fired a shot in anger before. Of course, the sight of her brother dead might have been enough to drive her to a desperate act.
You're forgetting something, Doc.
What?
This broken padlock. Rose would have had a key.
You mean she wasn't here?
I didn't say that. She may have been, but someone else was here, too.
Perhaps the inspector sent someone from headquarters to find her.
Perhaps. I must report there at once.
I'll come with you and make out my report on the dead man.
All right.
Now what's King growling at?
The great dog was growling at two decks of playing cards lying on the bed and only partially hidden by a scarf. The sergeant picked up the cards.
Are the aces of spades missing?
Yes.
More proof.
Proof of what? Listen to King. You don't imagine he knows the two aces are missing?
Of course not.
But he's growling in exactly the same way he growled at Bart Conway outside the music hall.
Hey, could King have caught Bart's scent on those cards?
He's caught the scent of someone or something he doesn't like. Could be the scent of fear.
Someone broke into this cabin. It could have been Bart. He could have left those cards to make the evidence against Rose more conclusive. Is that what you're thinking?
Come on, we must find Rose and Bart.
At headquarters, Sergeant Preston learned that it hadn't been a constable who had broken into Rose's cabin. He conferred with the inspector, and after discussing every angle of the case, it was decided the sergeant should concentrate on finding Rose, while the rest of the force searched the town for Bart Conway. The sergeant went back to the music hall, now closed for the night, but Bill Wright let him in. When the cafe proprietor heard that not one, but four men had been murdered, he was astonished.
So four of the five men who were in that card game are dead.
We're not sure about Bart Conway. We hadn't been able to find him.
Well, he lived with Pete.
Only Pete was in the cabin.
Well, I can't help you.
We hadn't been able to find Rose Brady either.
Oh. Say, those playing cards, those death cards.
Death cards?
Fortune tellers always say the ace of spades means death.
Oh.
Those cards link Rose up with the killings. Is that it?
Not necessarily. We simply want to find her. Some of her clothes are gone. Her dog team's gone. You know her as well as anyone in Dawson. What about her friends?
She has hundreds of them in town.
Outside of town. Someone very close. Someone she might turn to if she were in trouble.
Well, 3 months ago, I'd have said Dave Martin.
Dave Martin? I know him. His claim's on Sugar Bowl Creek.
That's a fellow. 3 months ago, he asked Rose to marry him, but she turned him down. I think she was in love with Dave, but she was always worried about Ross. She told me once that she'd never marry until her brother had settled down.
Well, Ross can't worry her anymore.
That's true enough.
Yeah, thanks, Bill.
You're going to Sugar Bowl?
As soon as I harness my team.
You'll be fighting a bad storm.
If Rose's team can make it, mine can.
Well, good luck then. Summon the door. Constable Downey.
Hello, Bill. We have a lead, Sergeant.
On Rose or Bart Conway?
Bart. He was seen leaving town 2 hours ago.
Which direction?
North. I'm going after him.
We'll be traveling together, Jim.
How's that?
I'm heading for Sugar Bowl Creek.
Why?
Rose may have gone there, and Bart may have been following her when he left town. The fact that he's still alive makes everything a little clearer in my mind.
Well, it's no clearer in mine.
I've never been able to believe that Rose murdered Pete and Harry and Mike even to avenge her brother. I can believe that Bart killed Ross and then killed the others, leaving the ace of spades behind to incriminate Rose. I can believe he went to her cabin afterwards to leave the decks of cards from which the aces were taken. At the cabin, he would have seen, just as we did, that Rose had packed up and left. He may have followed her.
But how could he know where she'd gone?
Well, he'd have thought of Dave Martin just the way I did. Bart would have liked to marry Rose. He's always hated Dave, because he figured Dave cut him out.
We have to travel fast, Jim. If we're guessing anywhere near the truth, Rose is in real danger. Let's go.
It was 8 o'clock in the morning when Rose arrived at Dave Martin's cabin on Sugar Bowl Creek.
Whoa!
But it was still dark. Rose was exhausted. She took a few steps toward the door of the cabin, and then her strength gave out. She sank to the ground. However, Dave had heard the team stopping out in front.
Rose!
Dave! Help me, Dave!
I sure will.
Dave carried the girl into the cabin and placed her on a cot. He refused to let her talk until she had drunk a cup of tea. And then...
Feeling better?
I wish I were dead.
Rose.
Dave, I'm a coward. I ran away.
You ran away from what?
Ross has been murdered.
Murdered?
It happened last night at the music hall. He was playing cards with Bart Conway and his gang in one of the private rooms. I went there after I'd finished my number. I was going to make him come home with me. I found him. His head was lying on the table. He'd been shot through the chest, but he wasn't dead yet. When I screamed, he looked at me. He said, "They think you know about the gold. Get out of Dawson. They'll kill you, too."
Oh.
And then he died. I was a coward. I ran. I ran straight home and packed some things in a valise. Then I harnessed the dog team. You were the only one I could think of, Dave. The only one I could turn to.
I'm glad you came here.
But I can't stay. I must get back to Dawson.
When the storm's over, I'll take you there. Now, you must get some rest.
How can I rest? I should have gone straight to the police. I know who killed Ross, and I know why they did it.
Rose, you must get your strength back before you can go anywhere.
Dave, have you heard about the express robbery at Grand Ledge?
No.
Well, it happened about 3 days ago. Ross would have taken part in that robbery if I hadn't stopped him.
You've been through a great strain.
And you think I'm raving? Well, I'm not. It all seems like a bad dream, but it's the truth. You must listen to me.
Of course, Rose.
It was Bart Conway and his gang who stole the gold in Grand Ledge. Ross was in on their plans. He must have known where they planned to hide the gold after the robbery. They killed him because he knew too much. Because he hadn't gone to Grand Ledge with them, and they were afraid he'd go to the police. From what he said just before he died, they must have been convinced he'd told me where the gold was hidden. And that made me dangerous, too. That's why I was afraid. That's why I ran.
No one can blame you for that.
I blame myself.
I'll drive you back to Dawson as soon as the storm is over.
Yes, that's what I want. To tell the police everything I... Oh!
Bart Conway.
Up with your head. On your feet, Rose.
She's too weak to stand.
Get up, Rose.
All right.
And keep your hands high. Suppose you have a gun in your partner.
Yeah, well, you won't be needing this.
It was you who killed Ross, and now you're going to kill me.
You guessed it.
You'll hang, Conway.
Not me. But I must admit that your coming up here has changed my plans a little, Rose. You were supposed to be found in your cabin with your own gun in your hand and a suicide note on the table.
Suicide note? Who would believe that Rose would take her own life?
Most of Dawson. I have the note already written. Shall I read it to you?
Yes.
Well, I'll be glad to oblige. And, by the way, I'm clever with a pen. This even looks like you're writing, Rose.
May I see it?
No. You better face the wall, both of you. Come on, turn around. Now, listen to this. To the police. I knew my brother had been playing cards with Pete Sherman, Harry Forrest, and Mike Weatherby. I knew one of them must have shot him, and that all of them were responsible for his death. I took one of my pistols and went after them. You'll find them dead in their cabins. They deserve to die, but I realize it's murder, and I must hang. I'd rather take this way out. That's all.
Is it true? Are Pete and Harry and Mike dead?
Yeah, it's true.
And you shot them.
Yeah, but Rose will be blamed for it. There's no one left but me. I'll not have to split that Golden Crater Canyon with anyone.
So that's where it's hidden?
No, as if you didn't know.
I didn't. Until now.
Well, knowing that'll be of no help to you.
Do you mean to stage a double suicide?
Ah, use your brains, Dave. That couldn't be made to seem logical.
Well, what are you going to do with us?
I'm considering fire.
What?
Yeah. This cabin's made of seasoned wood. It should burn well. And fire will destroy any evidence that you've been shot. And it's about time.
No, don't shoot!
No!
Dave!
I'm all right. Oh. Someone shot Bart through the window.
Sergeant Preston!
Yes, Rose, we seem to have arrived just in time.
Another second and you'd have been too late.
You can thank King. Considering the storm, he must have made a record trip from Dawson.
Easy.
How's Bart, Jim?
He'll be all right. Your bullet caught him in the shoulder. Oh,
Sergeant, he was going to shoot us and he confessed everything.
Rose!
I've got her. It's only a faint.
The cot.
There.
My head.
Just take it easy, Rose. What was it that Bart confessed, Dave?
Nothing. I confessed to nothing.
I still while I bandaged
it. Go on, Dave.
It was he who killed all four men. He thought he'd arranged it so Rose would be blamed for three of the murders.
Tell me, why did he kill Ross?
Because Ross knew that Bart and his gang had robbed the express office in Grand Ledge.
And his Confederates. Why'd he kill them?
Well, they were witnesses to his first murder. And with them out of the way, he wouldn't have to share the gold with anyone.
I see.
I suppose that was it. Though it's hard to follow the workings of a twisted mind.
Crater Canyon.
What, Rose?
Crater Canyon, Sergeant. That's where the gold is hidden.
We'll find it. Bart, you're under arrest in the name of the Crown.
Lies, all lies. I never admitted killing anyone. I never said anything about Crater Canyon. And if you find any gold there, I had nothing to do with stealing it. You can't prove anything against me.
A jury will decide that, Bart. And it's my guess this country will be rid of a menace when your case is closed.
We'll return in just a moment with a word about our next exciting adventure.
You know, it's a rare privilege to see the great totem poles in the Northwest because they're found nowhere else in the world.
And I understand, Sergeant, that the carvings of fish, animals, and birds were all done by hand on logs as high as 60 feet.
In fact, the only carving tools the ancestors of the Northwest Indians had were such primitive ones as whalebone, beaver teeth, and sharp stones.
Well, to actually see these totem poles is like having the history of those Indians come to life right before your eyes.
And that's what makes this news so terrific.
Right now, and for the very last time, friends of Sergeant Preston can get in on the most exciting offer of your life.
You can get a whole collection of five different scale model totem poles.
Offered to you, friends of Sergeant Preston, for the last time on this program by Quaker Puffed Wheat and Quaker Puffed Rice.
Here are the five different totem poles you get.
One, the famous Thunderbird, God of Weather.
Two, the Fight with the Land Otters.
Three, the Weird Burial Pole with the amazing coffin-like box at the top.
Four, the Killer Whale. that tells the fascinating story of a whale-hunting tribe.
Five, The Sun and Raven. That's famous because the Raven is the greatest hero and mythical god of the Northwest.
Yes, from the huge totem poles that you would see today up in the great Northwest, accurate scale models have been made 4 inches high.
Miniatures made of pressed wood and hand-painted in beautiful bright colors.
Say, don't miss the fun of making your own little Indian teepee village for each totem pole.
Or taking them to school when you study Indian life.
Now, they're easy as pie to get, but you must hurry.
Get your pencil and paper ready, because this is absolutely the last time on this program you can get the details.
First, get one of the special new packages of Quaker Puffed Rice or Quaker Puffed Wheat now at grocers.
These packages tell all about these exciting totem poles. And they have a special order blank with a list of the five different poles right on it.
You just check the totem poles you want. And for every one you check, send 25 cents.
Now, if you want the whole collection, you send only $1.
But whether you want one or all of them, you only have to send one box top from Quaker Puffed Wheat or Quaker Puffed Rice.
Send to Totem Poles, Box L, Chicago 77, Illinois.
And with the Totem Poles order, you'll get something extra. A little booklet that tells the fascinating history and story of each totem pole.
Now, if these aren't the most wonderful scale model totem poles you ever saw, you'll get your money back, every cent of it.
But here's a warning. In a few seconds, this radio offer will be over.
Get every word and act at once tonight.
Get the special new packages of delicious Quaker Puffed Wheat or Rice.
Then use the box top to order any totem pole you want.
Don't lose a minute. Rush your order tonight to Totem Poles, Box L, Chicago 77, Illinois.
And now, here is Sergeant Preston.
Reporting for duty, Inspector.
Sergeant, post these handbills in every town and trading post you pass when you leave Dawson, so that the people will be on the lookout for stolen American money carrying these serial numbers.
Is there any reason to believe that the money will turn up here, sir?
Some of it was found in Seattle. A man used it to buy a steamship ticket to Dawson. He's a thief and a murderer, Sergeant. He must be captured.
I'll do my best, sir.
Sergeant Preston doesn't suspect that the search for stolen American money will bring him face to face with men who have already committed murder and who will kill again to protect their freedom. Be sure to hear this next exciting adventure. These radio dramas, a feature of Sergeant Preston of the Yukon Incorporated, are created by George W. Trendle, produced by Trendle Campbell Muir Incorporated, directed by Fred Flowerday, and supervised by Charles D. Livingston. The part of Sergeant Preston is played by Paul Sutton. Sergeant Preston of the Yukon is brought to you every Tuesday and Thursday at this same time. On Thursday, by Quaker Puffed Wheat and Quaker Puffed Rice. The breakfast cereals shot from guns. Only Quaker Pacoten has wheat and rice shot from guns. That's Quaker Pacoten, a regular cereal pantry. 6 different delicious ready-to-serve cereals. 10 crisp, fresh individual servings. At breakfast, you can take your pick of the pack. Have your own separate individual package. Enjoy a different cereal, extra fresh, every morning. Just remember, only Quaker Pacoten has all your family's cereal favorites. Try Quaker Pacoten. You'll be glad you did. This is J. Michael wishing you goodbye, good luck, and good health from Quaker Puffed Wheat and Quaker Puffed Rice. So long. Listen tomorrow at this same time to The Green Hornet, brought to you by the drink that makes you feel fresh again, delicious Orange Crush. This is the Mutual Broadcasting System.